Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
We've been studying James 5:16, where God promises healing if we confess our sins to one another. Today, we get into the practical nuts and bolts of exactly what that looks like in the church. If it's for your own personal victory over sin, if that's what you're shooting for, if that's the reason for your confession, then who should you confess to? Anybody who will pray for you. And this happens. I think this is the kind of thing that happens every day, every Sunday in our prayer groups. You know, I got to say, I've never been in a church where there's as much open, honest confession of sin every single Sunday morning as we gather as a church than here at this church. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it might be because it happens so naturally and so organically in those prayer groups that you don't even think of it as confession of sin. You don't even think of it as that. In the prayer groups, as you know, the way that all we do is just very simple. We go around the circle and just ask, how can we pray for you this week, specifically with regard to your walk with the Lord? How can we pray for your spiritual life this week? And at first, when you get into a prayer group, very beginning, you don't know the people very well, and you can be somewhat guarded in your answer, right? We just pray for wisdom for me. Next, you know, that's all I got, just pray for wisdom. And you don't give any further explanation. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's perfectly okay. But inevitably, what happens over time, as you know, and you get to know the people a little better, and you get more comfortable with each other, you find yourself volunteering a few more details. And finally, when it becomes clear that this group is safe and they're trustworthy and they've opened up their lives to you, then you feel okay opening your life to them. And so then it starts to be more like, what's your prayer request? Oh, please pray for me to have greater self-control with my daughter. Last week I blew up at her at the dinner table and I'm afraid I'm exasperating her and I don't know if I'm doing this right. And that's confession of sin, right? Or please pray that I would have more desire for God's word. I'm neglecting the scriptures. I haven't been spending time in prayer, and I just pray that I would have more desire. That's confession of sin. You might not think of it that way when you say it, and the people listening in the group, they probably don't think of it as confession of sin, but that's what it is. And I think that kind of just natural, organic way of communicating our weaknesses is primarily the thing that James has in mind here. I think that's probably the ideal form of confession of sin in the church, the fulfillment of James 5:16. I don't think mainly what James has in mind here is some kind of revival service where everyone comes up to the mic and starts rattling off their sins. I think it's just this natural thing where we're just open with our lives. And that brings healing. Brings healing. Now, once in a while, there'll be a situation that goes a little deeper than what you can handle in a prayer group. Maybe you've got some real sensitive issue, or maybe a sexual sin, or addiction, or a marital problem, or whatever, and you need some more intensive mentoring on a one-on-one regular basis for an ongoing period of time. And that kind of thing happens. And so you need to confess some things maybe that wouldn't be appropriate even in your little prayer group. That's when you would come in for counseling, or you get hooked up with a mentor, or some form of one-on-one discipling. Every last one of us, every one of us, hits certain times in our life where we need that. We need some individual to come and give us some intensive one-on-one help. And when that happens, the more open and honest you are and transparent you are with your mentor, the more they're going to be able to help you. And this is especially important when it comes to those enslaving sins and besetting sins, those ones that you just can't seem to break free from. Usually those are the sins that are kind of the more embarrassing kind, and so we're reluctant to confess them. We keep it to ourselves, and we don't want to say it because it's just so embarrassing. In fact, some of you are sitting there right now thinking, you're thinking of the one in your life, and you're just like, nah, I can't do it. I can't confess that. I can't let anybody, if anybody knew about that, I can't do it. And I don't think I need to do it. And honestly, because I think I got it licked. I'm just not turning the corner. I think I've got it. I think I've got it this time. Come on. How many years have you been saying that? You've been struggling with this for 20 years, and you're always about to turn the corner. How long do we have to struggle with the same thing before we wake up to reality and realize, I can't do it on my own. I need some help. Go to someone you trust, who knows the Scriptures, who's powerful in prayer, who will be faithful to pray. Confess openly, honest, just lay it all out there so that person can pray for you. And that's a situation where you do confess even sins of the thought life that never did come out. Yeah, that's not appropriate in sins of reconciliation, but when it's for your own personal restoration, yeah, you confess even that. So the question of which sins do you confess everything to your mentor. Your mentor's not really going to be able to help you unless they know what's going on in your heart. So be open. And if you're the mentor, you be open too. You confess your sins too. You know, it's a lot easier to be open with somebody who's being open with you. I love the mutuality of this command in this verse. Confess your sins to one another. Right? It doesn't say the peon should confess their sins to the big shots. It doesn't say the really dirty, vile, scandalous sinners should confess their sins to the squeaky, clean people who've got their act together. It's not what it says. It's just everybody in the church keeping it real with everybody else. Being honest. Let me ask you this. How many of you would like a church where confession is more common than criticism? I mean, criticism is necessary sometimes, right? I mean, it is. Sometimes we got to call a spade a spade. It's not necessary every single time you see something wrong to have to point it out always and criticize. But many times, criticism is necessary. We've got to point stuff out. But wouldn't it be great if for every one of those, there's every one time when you hear some criticism, you hear 10 circumstances of confession. Where we're confessing our own failures, our own weaknesses. How many of you would find it easier to receive criticism and correction from someone who frequently confesses his own sins and failures and shortcomings? A lot easier, right? That's a lot easier than receiving criticism from somebody who's just never wrong. So confess your sins to one another.
Maybe you have some deep, dark secret that you feel like has to be kept secret. If it ever got out, your life would be over. If it's in the past, then maybe it should stay in the past. But if it's an ongoing struggle, chances are you're going to need some help to overcome it. People don't just break free from addictions or enslaving sins by themselves. So you're going to have to find a counselor or a mentor or a pastor or a close friend or someone who can help you. What if you don't have any deep, dark, secret sins? It's still important to have a regular practice of transparency in the church. However closed off you've been to protect yourself, loosen that self-protection up a little bit and open up to people. If you need to start small, fine. But make a regular practice in whatever small group you're in to be honest about spiritual struggles. Unfortunately, most small group leaders are afraid to even ask about anything like that because of our culture's unhealthy obsession with privacy, so you probably have to volunteer the information. Whenever someone asks me for my prayer request, I always just try to think of whatever spiritual struggle I'm having, and I ask them to pray for that. Sometimes it's as simple as, oh, the pastor just preached on generosity, made me realize I need to be more open-handed, pray for that. Just remember, privacy is the enemy of intimacy, and it prevents healing. If you go to the doctor with some skin cancer, but you're so obsessed with privacy that you won't take off your clothes for the exam, he's not going to be able to treat your cancer. If you want healing, you have to give up privacy and expose your disease. It might be a little embarrassing at first, but believe me, the healing is more than worth it. O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. In the past, I called to you for help and you healed me. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How good it is to sing praises to you, my God. How pleasant and fitting to praise you, because you heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Make my heart soft and not calloused. Give me ears to hear and eyes to see, that I might understand with my heart and turn to you and be healed.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.